God when I climbed Calvary's mountain. I found victory at the foot of the cross.
I found victory at the foot of the cross, where the Savior conquered it all. I had doubts from the past and fear of tomorrow. I found victory at the foot of the cross. In the cross, in the cross, I had doubts from the past and fear of tomorrow.
I found victory.
Amen. Aren't you glad that you found victory at the foot of the cross? Amen. That's where victory is. Amen. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Brother Joe, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight? Amen. Church, would you stand? Turn over to page number 139. Join the choir tonight as we sing At Calvary. Page 139. Everyone stand, everyone sing. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy, great grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
On the last.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. That's good singing. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. We may have some that are even visiting with us tonight. If so, we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. And pray that when you leave here, you'll be able to say it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we are excited about baptismal service. Always been a favorite service of mine. I'm thankful for those that come to know the Lord as their Savior and take that first step for the Lord of baptism, and we're excited about that tonight. And thank you for being here. If you're here for that purpose, we thank you for coming and sharing in this great time, the great service tonight, and we look forward to that here after the message here in a few moments. Pray for the choir and the message, and then baptism. We look forward to that. It's great to have Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia here with us tonight. What a pleasure that is, and we were so excited to see the trail jumped up to see if it was true, I guess. Is that really them up there? It is great to have you guys with us, and it's truly a joy to have you in the service here tonight. But please remember all of the announcements. Make sure you keep your eyes on your bulletin. A lot of things going on here at Calvary. We're very thankful for that. Please don't forget about Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. And, of course, Jubilee being right around the corner. Make that a matter of prayer. That's March 3rd through the 7th. And so please remember that. We're still trying to finalize a couple of things. And so please make that a matter of prayer. And I'm very excited about it. And so please remember that. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Remember the prayer requests that were given this morning as well. Some going through some difficult times physically. And we just want to ask the Lord to have his hand upon them. Touch them, heal them, bring them back to us, and let's fill the house of the Lord. But we're thankful for the message this morning, and we look forward to the message tonight. Pray for Brother Justin. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this place, and we're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Pray now for the offering. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you take us, O Lord, in a word of prayer?
Thank you. It's good to be here this evening. And had a good service this morning. Of course, every service is good when the Lord's here. But I trust He accomplished some things this morning. The service, we appreciate those that were visiting this morning. Appreciate those who are visiting tonight. And Brother Snyder and Sister Marcia, of course, this is a home visit. And so glad to see y'all. And then back, good to see y'all. Good to have y'all tonight. And, you know, sometimes when there's a baptismal service, you kind of, you're confined to a time period. And so you want to, you don't want to overcrowd the time period, but yet you want to be able to share a little bit from God's Word and still give some allotted time for the baptism without it being rushed. But I feel tonight that to share some things out of the book of Psalms, chapter number 34. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 34 this evening. And then we will baptize Brother Robert. Psalm 34. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 1. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for who you are and what you do. Lord, we're thankful for God that we are vessels in your hand. Lord, I pray that you'll continually prepare us to be a vessel fit for the Master's use, that as the song says, prepare us to be a sanctuary, a place of habitation for the Lord to use. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would meet with us, use me, help me to communicate your truth to the heart of your people. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Jump down to verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And in verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We're jumping over some verses tonight and covering a few of them here and there, kind of scattered around. But tonight, if you notice in your subscription there below Psalm 34, we know that this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Now we know that David was on the run from Saul and he was going through a time of harassment. We know that David had a javelin thrown at him a few different times. And so David was on the run from Saul, and for his safety, he fled to the land of the Philistines. And before long, he found himself arrested. He was arrested, and he was brought before the king, King Abimelech. Now, the Bible says and gives the account when this happened that David acted as a madman. And he was foaming at the mouth, and he was kind of scratching at the door and acting crazy-like. You see, David only had a few options during this time of being arrested. He can either act as a madman and just be released outside the gates, or he could act as if he was a spy. But if he was a spy, then he would have been arrested and maybe even put to death. Maybe David, if he had another motive, then definitely he would have been investigated in that and possibly died due to that of some other alternative motive, or maybe being a spy. And so David felt necessary to act as a madman. He was foaming at the mouth and scratching at the door. But he was released during this time. And I believe here in Psalm 34, this gives the account of David during that experience. It was a time when David, if I could say it this way, he was bewildered mentally. He was in enemy territory. Think about it. Think about being on the run from someone and you're seeking refuge. And then you end up in enemy territory. That's not a good thing. And David was going through a time of trouble and a time where he was bewildered. And it wasn't right that David acted like a madman. That was definitely out of character. But his options were narrow. And so David was acting these ways, and he was at a time in his life where there weren't many options. But at the same time, David pens this psalm, because he is transitioning perspective. Although he is going through a time of bewilderment and possibly feels abandonment, maybe he feels like there's nowhere I can run if I try to serve God, then Saul's after me. But yet I flee, and now I'm in enemy territory. But David, as it were, he calms himself and he gathers himself and regains composure. He gets the proper perspective during this time. Notice what he says in verse number 1. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." David said, whether times are good, I'm going to bless the Lord. But even during times where I can't make sense out of it all, even during the times in life where I feel bewildered and almost like things aren't adding up in life, David said, I'm going to bless the Lord, number one, often. But then he says this, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He said, not only I'm going to bless the Lord often, but I want to bless the Lord openly, even during the time that I'm going through, even during this time where I feel like a fugitive and there's no safety anywhere. Running from Saul, and now I'm before King Abimelech, and I'm acting out of character. I have on a mask, so to speak. I don't want to be arrested as a spy, and I don't want to be arrested as some other alternative motive and possibly be put to death. He said, my options are few, but there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord often, and I'm going to bless the Lord openly, is what he says in verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he continues this. Verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse number 3, he invites everyone. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David transitions in his problem. It's almost as it were that David shifts the burden. David is on the run and he's burdened down, but yet he shifts this burden upon the Lord. And he says that I'm going to reflect back on some things in life that I'm thankful for. He says, in fact, and as we read in just a moment and point out a few things, David is reflecting back on his life, and he calls it, I believe, in the context of these verses, the blessed life. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach on that subject, the blessed life, living the blessed life. And there's a few things I want to mention. And David mentions these things. These are a few byproducts that David mentions tonight, that they're a byproduct of serving the Lord. Now, you and I tonight, whenever we realize that we're a sinner and we're in need of a Savior, we humble ourselves and we accept the fact that we're sinners separated from God, and we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us. And then we follow through with believer's baptism, testifying to the world that we're no longer the same person. It is identification. We're identifying with the Lord's death, and we're identifying with His burial and resurrection. We are people of new things. We're living a new life. And so when a person gets saved, their position is set with Jesus. Positionally, they have peace with God. But there's some things tonight that are byproducts of living for Jesus. I want to mention just a few of those. Number one, notice in verse number 4, one byproduct of living for Jesus is that there's a sensitivity to hear us. He says in verse number 4, I sought the Lord. The word sought here means to tread frequently. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me. This is confidence. David said, during this experience when I was on the run and now I found myself in this crazy situation. I mean, I'm over here right in front of King Abimelech, and I'm scratching on the door, and I'm pounding the door, and I'm spitting and foaming at the mouth. He says, I know that was out of character. He says, but what options do I have? He says, I don't want to act like a spy. I don't want to act as if there's another alternative motive and be put to death. I'm trying to serve God, and I'm running from Saul, and that's not good to live in fear, and now I'm in this situation. And David says, while I was in this situation, I treaded frequently my prayer closet. I treaded frequently the thoughts and intents of my heart. I was in the Word of God frequently. David said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. I want to say that one byproduct serving Jesus is that there's a sensitivity to hear us. David was running and pretending, yet with the spiritual resolve he had, he cried to God and God heard him. Sometimes in life serving Jesus, we may be 110% gun barrel, passionately ready to serve Him. Like we're running out on the field of a game, and we got everything ready and prepped. But other times, I'm telling you, it feels like we're walking into church sometimes with one leg dragging like this. We've been shot and we've been wounded. We've been fighting the devil all week. And I'm glad tonight that during those times, we can crawl up to the throne of grace. And we can cry unto the Lord. It's not a perfect prayer. We haven't succeeded perfectly in our prayers and Bible reading and serving Him. But I want to let you know tonight that one of the byproducts of serving Jesus is that He has a sensitivity to hear us. When we're up, we can call out to Him and He'll hear us. When we're down as a beggar and we know we've blown everything and all the I's aren't dotted and the T's aren't crossed, we can call on Him. Notice what else he says. Look in verse number 5. David is now moving the scene off of him and on to the other that are righteous. In verse 4 he says, I sought. Now verse 5 he says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. He said, all of my brethren and all of those that are righteous in Jesus, not that they're perfect, but the righteousness they believe in God, he says, their faces were lightened in times of trouble. And they weren't even ashamed about it. They didn't blush of their unashamedness. You know, sometimes in life, it's one thing to praise the Lord in church, and it's another thing to praise Him out in the world where people are. And sometimes there can be that temptation to blush when you're taking a stand for the Lord. Let me remind all of us, myself, number one, that it was Paul that said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul said it was that the power of God that saved me. How in the world can I be ashamed of that? And David said, not only did I seek the Lord and he heard me, but they, all of the multitudes, the brethren and the righteous, they looked unto him and were lightened. I wonder if anybody here tonight has ever been in a situation where it was dark, but you looked unto Jesus and you kept on looking, and after a while he lightened your countenance. We all can testify of that, can't we? How the Lord can lighten a countenance in a dark situation. Look at verse number 6. Now David brings it back to him. This poor man. He's almost like, Lord, I am a poor man. I'm in a poor situation. It's dark and it's dingy. And David is no longer calling shots as though he was in his palace on the throne as ruler. But he is a poor man. He is beggarly even. He is bewildered. He is in a strange situation, scratching and pulling on the door and foaming at the mouth. He knows it's wrong, but is in a situation. And David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I want to say that the Christian life is living the blessed life tonight. It is because of one of the byproducts, and that is there's a sensitivity to hear us. Notice this. In verse number 7, there's a security that surrounds us. Verse number 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How about that? There's many opinions on this verse, whether it's the Lord himself or an angel of the Lord. But you know, sometimes you just got to take the Bible at face value and share what it says. It says the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. I was talking with someone, I guess we could say talking with someone on early Monday morning. And they were giving testimony of how that someone came to their door at 2 a.m. and knocked. My first thought was, number one, Christy won't let me answer the door at 2 a.m. Number two, if I did, it would be with ammunition and armor. Someone knocked on his door and they said, and he answered the door. He said, sir, my car broke down. It's just me and my girlfriend. Could you give me a ride to get some gas? I mean, that's a no-brainer, really. He said, sure, let's do that. He said, oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Can my girlfriend stay here and I go with you? He said, no. I'll stay here. Let my girlfriend go with you. He was just back and forth, back and forth. Then all of a sudden, him and the man who supposedly broke down, ran out of gas, got in his truck and took off out the driveway. There was a gang of people there walking toward his house. He said, oh, don't worry about them. Don't worry. Yeah, they're with me. They're supposed to be somewhere right now, and we're all broke down. They're fine. And the man gave the testimony and said, I reached out to help someone. It could have went horribly wrong, but it didn't. And another person helped. I left them a message. I said, I'll tell you what happened. The Lord looked after you. That's what happened. I said, there was an angel encamped round about you that kept you safe during that time. Now, in our verse, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I said, brother, the Lord kept an eye on you. He kept you safe because who knows what might have happened. He stopped what was going to happen, exactly what he did. The word encampeth here means to tent upon. It's the same word that Paul was talking about in the New Testament about the grace of God being upon him, associated with the thorn of the flesh. It means to tent upon. It means to be surrounded by. And I don't want to get over zealous about this or upon the subject much, but I'll just say this, that I believe we all have a guardian angel. I believe that the Lord, the same way that God doesn't have to use us, is the same way the Lord doesn't have to use angels, but He does. And He gives them charge over us, or they encamp around about us. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth, or tents upon, round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. What about that late morning you arrived at work? Think about it. You're upset because you got to work late. Who knows what might have happened if you were on time? You may not have made it at all. And what about that phone call that calls you an hour's time in the office and you miss picking your child up from school? You had to pay an after-school charge for them to stay. But who knows what might have happened on the ride over there? Listen, I know with all my heart there's times, and really more now than ever, when things change in my schedule and things are different, you know what I say to myself? I say, all right, there it is. The Lord looked after me. And that's how we have to live. But there's a security that surrounds us. The Lord commissions His angels to keep charge over us. Notice another thing. Not only a byproduct has to do with this security that surrounds us, but another byproduct has to do with a source that is fulfilling. Look in verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. There's a source that is fulfilling. What I mean by that is Jesus is good, and He's even better when you trust Him. I was reading today, and Spurgeon actually made a quote. He said that the words, oh, taste and see, can also mean make a trial. Make a trial of Jesus. He also went on, Spurgeon did, also went on and say, and he said this, he said, you cannot see something except you taste something. I was actually, I don't quote a lot of different men like that, but Billy Sunday's one of my favorites. And Billy Sunday said, there was never a time that I met someone who was ever sorry that they met Jesus. I'm going to say tonight that there's a source that is fulfilling. David declares the Lord's goodness in his fulfilling source. He said, although times are bad and times are rough, the Lord is good. He is faithful. Faith is the soul's taste. Think about it. Faith is the soul's taste. You want to taste and see if the Lord is good or not? How about try trusting Him with that situation you brought in tonight? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust in Him. And when we trust the Lord and He comes through and He provides and we see how He has worked in the situation, that is our soul tasting the faith we trusted in Him with. There's a source that is fulfilling. David declares that. He says, Lord, I have trusted You with this. I was in a strait. I was on the run from Saul, and I ended up at the king's house, and I put on a mask, and I was acting like somebody I wasn't, but I escaped, Lord. Lord, You are trustworthy, and I'm tasting it. I'm tasting it. There's been times in life where things look bleak and things look grim for my family and I, and there were trying times where our faith was stretched, but every time, every last time, the Lord has always came through. And the times where we choose to exercise faith, it's our faith being exercised in His Word, in His faithfulness, in His promises. And when He comes through and we see that He's provider, He's Jehovah Jireh. Our soul has tasted the goodness of the Lord. Well, there's a source that is fulfilling. Let me mention this. There's a supply that is given. Look in verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no want to them that fear Him. No want. There's no need. There's no lack. Sometimes when you pull up at a four-way or you pull up at a, I know in Hiram several times there's been a a family out there. And I tell you, I just don't know what to say about it sometimes, because they're holding up signs saying help wanted, need food. They're smiling at you, you know. And we've given money before. You just wonder sometimes, what's their motive? But, you know, to really be free, if God tells you to give it, give it. But as I sit and think about that, I wonder, were they Christians? And if they were Christians, how does that play out in the Word of God? And I don't know if it does. David says, I was young and now I'm old and never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now listen, there's times where we make financial decisions and they're not the right ones. And if we ever end up on a corner begging for food, that's not God's doing, that's our own. But I found out even in wrong financial decisions, God is still faithful to supply. And I want to say tonight that Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want, there's no lack to them that fear Him. God is a supplying God tonight. He supplies all our need. Let me move on. Verse number 10. Another byproduct is satisfaction, that is sure. In verse 10 he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That just simply says Jesus is enough. These young lions, and when I'm thinking young lion, I'm thinking little cub or, you know, something just born. I was looking today, and sometimes these young lions can be fierce. They can be very pushy and aggressive. And they go that way after their food, and guess what? Sometimes they come home hungry. Although they're aggressive and although they're fierce and they're young, they have the energies to go after their food, they end up howling with hunger. And he draws, there's a comparison here of the lions in us. He says the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. They have a big roar. They have fierce attitudes and they try to intimidate to get what they want. But he says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We don't have to intimidate. We don't have to threaten. We don't have to stand on the curb and say, please this, please that. Because if the lions are aggressive and they go after their own and they end up howling with hunger, all we have to do is trust our shepherd. And we do that, he is our good shepherd. He provides for us. He gives us everything we need. The Bible says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Come down from the Father above, wherein there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. If there's anything good tonight, you're enjoying it, came from the good hand of God tonight. So this is a byproduct of serving Jesus. Satisfaction, that is sure. He may not always give us what we want, but He always will give us what we need. Look at verse 15. We see a sight that is certain. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry, which just simply means that God is constantly observing. He's watching. Psalm 139 tells that. He knows of our uprising. He knows of our downsitting. He understands our thoughts afar off. God is omniscient, which means He knows everything. So what's there to worry about? What's there to fear about? There's a sight that is certain. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. We serve an omniscient God, all-knowing God. We're in God's scope tonight. And then lastly, verse number 18, there's a struggle that is accepted. Another byproduct. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He talks about a struggle that is accepted. The word save as such means, or through the idea of accepting. The Lord is nigh. You know what that means. He's near. But he's near unto them who are of a broken heart. And he accepts those who are of a crushed spirit, a contrite spirit. Last Sunday we preached on Jeremiah for a little while, and at a chapter number 18 we talked about where God calls Jeremiah to see what the potter was working on the wheel. And there's a phrase there that says that he worked on the wheel, but he noticed that the clay was marred in the potter's hands. It was broken. It was out of sorts. It was out of fashion. But it was in the potter's hands. I said last Sunday night, and I'll say again, that I would rather be broken in Jesus' hands than broken in the world's hands. Broken in the devil's hands. In such sacrifice, the Lord accepts. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. David said, I was in over my head and I was crushed. But he said, God heard me and he accepted me in my humility. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and we're going to go ahead and give a verse of invitation, because you never know the hearts and minds of the people. If you're here and you need to come pray, you pray, and then we'll change the service.
I am.